Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Front Page Dub for one last time in 2024. It is only today, me, Cody Ojeda, your host, and Matt Olson, the original two. Unfortunately, Annabelle has ditched us for, I guess, her motherland or fatherland. I don't know which side of her family comes from England, but she's having a white Christmas in England. Me and Matt are here stinking our asses off because it is freaking hot. I don't know what it's like for you over on the West Coast, Matt, but at least besides this morning in Sydney, it has been a stinker. But Merry Christmas to all of you. Merry Christmas to you, Matt. I can see you're dressed up for the occasion, as have I. We're both in Christmas outfits. You'll see when the reels come out. Matt, how are you doing today?
Yeah, I want to actually say, firstly, it's actually like on the more pleasant side of warmish for now in Perth. So I've been enjoying myself, you know, good time with friends and colleagues and family soon. So, yeah, really looking forward to it. And of course, let's not forget the real reason Annabelle went to England was to enjoy watching Ashley Maynard Brewer in net for Charlton Athletic. So, yeah, we're here to take in the festivities in a very, very fun way, I must admit.
I can't imagine a better reason to go to England than to watch Ashley Maynard Brewer do his thing. Did he actually play that? Has he been playing recently? I actually thought he was a bench at
Charlton. I know there's like a second keeper that's fairly prominent, but I'm pretty sure, you know, we obviously wouldn't have had Annabelle travel all that way, you know, just to see some family members. That's absurd. She obviously was going to see him, so he must have been playing.
We can find. Oh yeah, he was playing.
He was there playing. Why else would she be
there?
Why else would she be in London?
And
right
Keanu
now?
Backus was on the opposite side for Mansfield.
The Mansfield,
England,
there
so
you go.
There well, we go. Ben Wayne didn't get on the pitch though. So how much was the trip really worth it? Missing out, Annabelle. Where would you rather be? Here with us or watching Ben Wayne warm a bench? At least Keanu Backus played. And Maynard Brewer, Perth lad. That's good for you, Matt. Anyway, there is a reason why we're here today. This is a bonus episode. If you've come here for, I guess, good, cohesive, and knowledgeable reviews and what else you want to call it, analysis of the A-League Women's, one of the greatest leagues in the world, then you have come to the wrong place, because today we are taking the absolute mickey. Like I said, we've got one episode left for 2024. We're going to have a bit of fun with it. This is pretty much a bonus episode. As I said earlier, we're decked out in Christmas outfits today. And we're going to go through every A-League club and work out what's on their Christmas list, at least from our point of view. Our opinions may differ on how teams are going and what teams need, and some of us may not actually take this very seriously. I am someone, let's be real. But we're getting straight into it. This is going to be a shortened episode. I'm aiming for half an hour. If you're listening to this, you can see how long this episode goes for. You can see how wildly off I am, because when do we ever go for half an hour? Matt, I'm sure you can agree very much on that one, but let's get into it before we actually do drag this episode on. Matt, we didn't actually discuss this properly before we started the episode.
Yeah.
Did you want to go in alphabetical order, or do you want to do like bottom to top of the ladder?
I reckon we just start with whatever vibe we're feeling, honestly. Like,
well, whose vibe are you feeling?
Well, I know who I could talk about, having watched them.
Who can you talk about, Matt?
You know, having watched them just kind of play the way that they did at the weekend, I'd like to start with Adelaide, because...
Well, I think we'll go in alphabetical order then, because it'd be weird if we started with
Adelaide and then
went straight to, like,
and
Wanderers.
Then didn't. Yeah, I suppose you're right. But vibes are a powerful thing, and if we find a segue, we should use it. That's all
you
I'm
know
saying.
What?
No, look,
I'm all for that.
No, look, no draws. No draws in Adelaide's season so far. Yeah, we do have, obviously, Fiona Wirtz as the top scorer.
Don't get that one wrong again, man. Profusely apologise to Fiona for that. That is something that I will never live down for the rest of my life.
Bit of FPF heritage, of course. But yeah, look, I guess, you know, I am going to start this semi-seriously, so I don't apologize. But, you know, like, I feel like the games that they've lost, there's been probably a real reason for it. And, you know, when I saw how poor they looked against Perth, like, yes, Perth's backline in particular was really, really fired up for that game. But I just feel like the Adelaide we see is going to be a different Adelaide every week. You know, easy job against Canberra, easy job against the Jets, you know, average against Wellington, average against Perth. Why is it that when they win games, they're pretty loud and clear, and you've got someone like Wirtz, basically, scoring goals for fun. The input of Emily Condon's been fantastic. Chelsea Dorber, when she's been in around, has been great. Man, they look so out of it against Perth, and I'd really want to see how this goes being played out in a full, 22 game season, 23 game season. Because if they're just going to continue to play like this and not really have any of those stalemate games, whereas some teams have probably had too many, I can think of a few. Where does that put you in the scheme of a 12-team competition? I get that the league is really chaotic at the moment, but
Well, right
something's
now
going
it
to
puts them
give.
top four.
Yeah, but we're talking 20, we're talking like the back end, where does it put you? I don't think that there's that much that's wrong. I think that's the crazy thing about the loss is that obviously that the red card was, I don't know what your thoughts were on it, Cody, but the red card against Perth was probably a bit harsh on McNamara as well, who's like a really, really key player for them as well. And I feel as though that gave Perth that extra kick they needed to find, the third goal in particular, but also the second as well. And there is someone I want to talk about who was involved in those goals very much, but we'll wait our turn on that.
Right, so what do they want then? What is it they
Consistency.
consistency?
Consistency.
That's what I had. That is the exact word that I wrote down. There we go. Great minds think alike. That is not the first for anyone listening that doubts this as well. Me and Matt have not seen what each other has written, mainly because Matt wrote his probably 2 minutes before we actually started. So we have no idea what each other's saying. So if we end up with coincidences, it purely is a coincidence. This is not done
Incidents,
by design.
yeah.
This is not a very planned podcast. I'll say that
No.
much. But look, I was going to say consistency as well because, like you said earlier, Adelaide, you get days where they're really, really good. Even that game against Melbourne Victory, I said it when we first started the show earlier this year. Well, earlier last month, essentially, that game against Melbourne Victory, they. As much as they lost, they did play quite good in that game. And then they went on a decent run, good wins, as much as Wanderers in Canberra. They were still good results. They were still good performances. And then you dish up what you have with the Wellington Phoenix game and Perth on the weekend. Before this weekend, I probably wouldn't have looked into Wellington Phoenix too much because, as I always say, your night round, anything can happen. It's like a box of chocolates. But there's weeks where they're hot, there's
Christmas
weeks where they're.
chocolates?
Sorry?
Christmas chocolates?
If you want, man,
Yeah.
I'm a Ferrero Rocher man on Christmas, if I say so
Oh,
myself.
nice. Nice.
I like a
Taste.
bit of fr that was that fun fact. That was actually the flavor of the wedding cake, if you remember.
Yes. Yes, I do.
I didn't have any until the next day, so I almost forgot.
Ooh. Oh, yeah, I
Which I
can't
shouldn't
say.
forget. I did pick it.
Well, that's actually really lovely here, yeah, to be honest. I can't remember having that much cake at your wedding either, to be honest, but
That's
it
fair. We
was, yeah.
were busy.
Well, you certainly were.
On the dance floor, for anyone that's at home thinking something different, by the way.
You're right.
But back to the football. But if there's one other thing I'd actually say for Adelaide, I've just realised every game that they have won, they actually have managed to keep a clean sheet, which is impressive in itself. But if there's one thing they maybe want for Christmas, it's probably a bit of backbone to see themselves out of adverse situation. Because every time they go down, or every time they concede, they end up struggling. So. Even the I know the Melbourne Victory game, Melbourne Victory did concede score first, sorry. And Adelaide came from behind twice as well, which I guess is a bit of backbone there, but they haven't really been able to show it since. But it's something to kind of keep them in a game and realize they can get themselves through adverse situations because it is a quality side. It's a side that I was big on heading into the season. So.
Yeah, and it's I think it's one that Adrian Sench has been involved with the group for such a long time now that like I just naturally think that they'll be okay. It's just a case of this has been Adelaide's problem when they've become good in both leagues historically. I find they know how to be like a really solid, dependable top six, top four team even. But they when do we ever think of Adelaide being at the like elite level? And the only time, especially in men's history, that ever happened was when they started the league at the bottom and then worked their way up to win and host the grand final,
That's
So
actually a
like,
bit fucked up, yeah.
yeah, it's actually a very, very common trend with Adelaide just in their existence as a club. So I don't know. Adrian will figure it out. And I think we are right in saying that there is a really, really good core there. It's just like I'm stunned that they played the way they did on the weekend.
No, that's completely fair.
Remember when we said this was just going to be jokes?
I mean, we just spent a minute talking about my fucking wedding cake, which
That's true.
that was
That's
my
true.
fault, I guess. I'm sorry.
No. I mean, it was a good cake. I just didn't eat enough of it to be like, oh, the wedding cake, you know?
Well, to be fair, I've got some left over, which I meant to have
Oh,
like
yeah.
a year had passed, so I don't know how I'm gonna get some to
I'll fly the distance from Paris to Moscow just to have some
you.
more of that
That's an expensive fucking cake.
wedding
Let's move on
cake.
before we get a bit ahead of ourselves. It's 10 o'clock where I am. I think I'm hitting loopy hours, and I think Matt's just had a big day at work. Are we going off vibes? Or are we moving on to Brisbane?
Oh, look, let's just do the alphabetical order. Go on,
I
man.
think, look, we haven't got a segue at the moment. It's probably just the easier thing to do. Brisbane, I'll start off with this one. And one thing I've noticed, besides the night round, which I really want to fill out the picture, I don't get the point of looking too much into the schematics of a Unite round match other than, oh, wow, really cool result. They've been really good in Brisbane and have struggled on the road. You look at Canberra and Wellington, two sides, they're a bit topsy-turvy. You wouldn't expect a near league leading side to lose those matches. But if there's one thing that I've put on Brisbane Roar's wishing list, or wish list, however you want to pronounce it, that was terrible by me, it's a bit of travel calm because they seem to struggle on the road a little bit.
Yeah, I
That
mean,
joke did not hit well, did it?
no, it didn't. That's sorry. Went straight over my head. Went straight over my head. I'm taking things too serious again.
Oh, fuck.
No, look. Obviously, they did get their 4-0 win against the Wanderers away from home,
Well,
but you're
technically, wasn't a
actually
Wanderers home either.
right.
It
Yeah,
should
but.
have been a lot better for the
Look,
Wanderers.
look, look. It's very difficult to say that Unite Round isn't in some way a Wanderers kind of home game. I think that's a bit harsh.
I mean, the way the Wanderers were playing at that stage, nothing was really
Yeah,
home
look,
game for them, was it?
whatever. I understand that it's an anomaly the way that you'd want to look at it. My one, by the way, is just to make a Gallup fit, because clearly, like, the whole team is built around her, and she's doing like really incredible things for the dynamic of the squad. But more to your point, the Sydney game, they were still figuring a lot of things out. The Perth game, easily the worst they've played, and I've heard a story that I won't say on air about something that happened on the way to Perry Park from a Glory perspective. But those games, if you kind of chalk them up to like, yeah, Brisbane were probably just going to win that as well, given what the opposition was going through. And you're just kind of looking at a team that's just going with the moment, and very much when they're traveling, that's when they have looked a bit shaky as well. So I think the theory totally holds up. And I'd also just look tactically at where specifically they've gone wrong. Has the input from certain players been what you'd expect when going on the road and getting challenged? The one thing I remember specifically though from the Canberra game was they actually had a lot of chances in the game against Canberra, and it was probably one of those ones where Canberra were just doing their early onset magic tricks and kind of got away with the result. I don't know. It's probably an interesting theory though. We still haven't really got quite jokey, but I don't really have anything jokey for this team either. So I think we're just gonna have to call it a day. Brisbane will they'll do okay. You don't really have a lot on your Christmas wish list if that time in December rolls around and things are going pretty good and you're feeling pretty content. And I think Brisbane are feeling pretty content. So what more can they wish for but to be on top of the league?
Well,
Well,
to be
then there's
fair.
that.
And look, considering where they probably were at the start of the season and what people expected them, at least certainly what I expected of them, it probably would have been a big ask to say, well, we want to be coming first.
Yeah.
Second's brilliant for them. They should be very happy with that. If I say so myself, maybe Raw fans will disagree with me, but I'd be surprised if many of them thought they'd be in a better position right now.
Probably.
They should be happy with themselves. I definitely agree. We'll move on then. I think we did mention him actually 2 seconds ago, Canberra. A side that started off quite well and then just kind of faded into oblivion a little bit. For them on my Christmas list, I'm sure they'd want to time travel back to early November when they looked like they were going to be one of the breakout sides of the
Yeah,
league.
well.
They started, what, 2 wins before the 10th of November. They had one loss. Let me just pull up who it's to because I've kind of forgotten if I, and I do apologize. They had that loss to Adelaide. They Unite round draw to Perth, which they were extremely lucky to get. And then it's just, look, they've played Mariners and City after that, who are good sides if I put some respect in there. But I'm sure they'd rather be where they were on the 10th of November, if I'm being completely honest.
Okay, I want you to think really like long and hard about something, right? Not the question I'm
Matt,
about
it
to.
is way too late in the evening
No,
to
no,
get
no, no,
down.
no, 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 no. It's funny. It's funny. But just think about this. Can you name every goal scorer for Canberra this season? You should be able to.
Markovski, Heyman, Stanish, Floody.
Exactly. Yeah, no,
Oh,
that's
that's
it. That's it.
it.
That's
There you
it. Yeah,
go.
isn't it? So just those three, right? I really want you to think about this because Markovski and Heyman, especially off the top of their early season form, are kind of in or around the Golden Boot race to some extent, right? I want you to really think about this in a second. Has there ever been a football team in like the history of ever that has finished the season, okay, or gone through the more majority of their league campaign with only like three, maybe four, maybe even two goal scorers in their team, right? Because I reckon if you actually look through it, it's a pretty rare feat, right? So I don't know if what they need for Christmas is more goal scorers, because ultimately they're their attacking players. Of course, they're going to be the ones scoring goals. But maybe what they want for Christmas is a really rare piece of, what I'm hoping is a rare piece of history, to finish the season with the least amount of goal scorers in
Well, they could finish
the
the league with the least amount of goal scorers and still finish fucking 10th, to be fair.
That it'd be like, oh, we don't get the spoon, hey guys, but look at this really cool stat, you know? So
That's basically them last year. They finished 11th, and it was basically Heyman and
Heyman
Milivojevic carrying the show.
and well, then that's Canberra 2020's footy DNA is what that is. And you're right, I'd actually have to look into last season now that I mentioned it, because they're just so dependent. They're so dependent on their attacking players. It's crazy.
And so what I'm hearing is for Christmas, they want Aidan Keane to start bagging some. Which is fair enough. Well, to be fair, I don't know how much he's actually starting at the moment.
What if there's a penalty and they get Chloe Lincoln to
Oh,
take
God. To be fair,
it?
even if they just had a centre back that could pop up with one or two, just something. Just something to see out those games that, maybe Markowski and Heyman are having an off day. Maybe they're not feeling it. They're allowed those days. But yeah, it's interesting with Canberra, and it's actually a nice hole you poked in it because they probably have been figured out as the season's gone on a little bit, and that's probably been half the reason for that decline. Obviously, taking into account they've played Mariners and City, and they got victory this weekend, so things aren't getting any easier. Maybe once they hit the Jets at home, they might ease up for them by the time they play Sydney. The problem is, there's not a lot of sides anymore. You look in this league that you go, okay, they're an easy game because you got a side like Sydney at the bottom of the ladder, but they're Sydney FC. You can't really say it's an easy game either. But
No.
look, we'll move on. Mariners is next. I'm going to get you to start with this, Matt, because mine's a proper piss take, so I really don't want to open with it.
Oh yeah, okay. Don't worry, I've got some banging piss takes in me. I understand that we've started a bit more on the serious side, and I'm kind of going to delve into that again, and I do apologize. But I think with the Mariners, like if they could find a way to see out the 90 minutes, especially like in games where they're probably going to win or be the better team, their ability to actually kind of pull off the result. Because I understand that like the draw with Western stands out as a really weird result, in that Western have both either scored really well or leaked goals, and the Mariners have basically had goals in every single game that's been played except for that one. It was just the most random nil-nil draw, right? Yeah, I just they're like the Sydney game is their most comfortable fixture that they've played, and that was one where, again, we were just really shocked with the way Sydney started the season. Since then, like it really has just been like we can see where this team is going, we can see how well they're playing, but they need to be able to establish their dominance and really see a game out and really get back to a version of themselves that beat Sydney so handily. Because if a better version of them shows up against Western, they get that result. Arguably against Victory, it might have even happened. And Brisbane again, I'd have to look into it a bit more, but that's one where you may be on the back foot and you just need to find that second gear to be able to get a takeaway from the game, and they're unsuccessful in that venture. So yeah, I again, it's probably just serious, more in the lines of kind of serious commentary, but if they could just find that bit of resilience, that'll really help.
Well, if I had a draw in that game on the weekend, I probably would have said get him a canvas for the amount they love to bloody draw. So yeah, your analysis was a lot better than mine. Mine, I literally said give him a rain dance because of what happened on the weekend against Brisbane Roar with the Perry Park situation. So now I feel a little bit stupid because yours was actually really intelligent and mine was, like I said, taking the piss. But look, they've lost one game.
Really,
It was only.
you should have gone first, because
Well, no, didn't come open with that. But no, I just find it interesting that they come up against adverse conditions. Look, we've seen Mariners go up to Brisbane when it's pissing down raining. Well, not necessarily when it's pissing down raining. I think the last time they went up to Brisbane with adverse conditions was they had the flight delayed or something like that. Do you remember that from two seasons
been
ago in the
hilarious.
men's competition? So they've been through it, but the club's been through it before. Couldn't handle it this time, unfortunately. But you know what? We live and we learn, and I'm sure they'll all move on and work out what to do next time when they're in that situation. But Mariners probably one of those like middle road sides, haven't been outstandingly good, but haven't been bad enough that we need to
Talk
go,
about
let's talk about Central Coast
them.
Mariners.
Yeah, 100%.
So we'll move on. Melbourne Victory. I'm going to start with this one because I'm not sure if you've seen the news, Matt. I know you said you've been out of the loop for the last couple of days, but I think top of the list for Melbourne Victory for any reason, for many reasons. For Beattie Goad to stay. Sure, that's not someone they'd want to be losing, especially mid-season, but that's news we haven't really touched on, mainly because there's only kind of rumors floating around. I say rumors floating around, she posted it on her bloody Instagram, for Christ's sakes. She looks like she'll be retiring mid-season, and I'm guessing it's to take up a career as a doctor or in medicine, whatever she was studying.
Yeah, I
But
think it's
that's sort of,
neuroscience, I think.
I have no idea what the degree was, I'll be honest.
Yeah, I think it
But
was neuroscience.
that's a big loss for Victory there, isn't it?
Well, look at this, but the more you read about Beattie Goad and her life, I just think the more you'd have to respect if it is a professional decision. We hear a lot of really terrible stories about women basically having to pull away from their ability to play the game at a higher level because it's not ever really been the sensible decision for them. And ultimately, if you find yourself in the realms of being like a really good, serious A-League women's player, you're actually stuck in some sort of limbo where you're not making it overseas on a big pro contract. But you're at a big enough level where like you've got to professionalize the way that you do things in your life, whilst ultimately making a better income, right? And that's where like I guess there's a reason why some of the more elite players that we also talk about are players that are younger, right? Like when if you were to talk to me, like what like a really really good A-League women's player is in your mind. I mean, yes, obviously you'd go to like the Lagazzos and the Gelnicks and things like that. But my mind immediately goes to like a young Courtney Vine and someone like Hannah Lowry, right? And there's no mistaking that. Who like they're younger women. Courtney Vine was working at the local JD Sport when she had her breakout, right? Like. It's just stuff like that where if you're big, you've got higher ambition. Go and feed into that. It just wouldn't be practical to be working, that kind of profession essentially, whilst maintaining a career with the Melbourne Victory. So I'm very very sympathetic, ultimately, because if we're in a position where women's sport in general and women's football could be better fed into, then ultimately, something like this doesn't have to happen. But it is the sad reality of the world that we live in.
But to be fair as well, even if you look at it from a professional point of view in women's football, if you've got the ability to be a doctor and or whatever profession she's trying to go into, if it's something of that ilk, trying to be a medical professional, you're probably going to make more money than what you'd make in many professional football competitions, men or women around the world, really. Unless you're a top player in the Premier League or a top player in La Liga or you're an average player in Saudi Arabia, you're probably not making that much. You're
Look,
not making
I
that
guess
much.
you're right, and ultimately, what like the amount of sacrifice, and let's not forget, the debt you'd have as well from all your studies, which is a whole other conversation. You'd really want that to pay off, making comfortably a six-figure salary, right? So, Yeah, you might be onto something. You
Like,
might be
even I
onto
don't
something.
like she could be a male player in Melbourne Victory. I don't think she'd be making as much money as she would in a hospital.
No, of course not. But I think it's also just the fact that if this is something that you can receive a comfortable salary doing, playing, sport, I mean, most people wouldn't say no to that, right?
Yeah,
Regardless of how
fair.
intelligent they were, regardless of their background. But then we would look at being a neurosurgeon the same way, wouldn't we? So
Oh, I don't think I could be a neurosurgeon, if
no,
I'm
I'm
being
not
completely
I'm
honest.
not sitting here. I'm not sitting here saying we can bloody examine brains, Cody. What I'm saying is, if the opportunity was before afforded to us, we'd think about it the same way we think about playing professional sport.
Don't know. I feel if I knew that I was my neurosurgeon, I'd probably just go, you know what, doctor, let me die. I don't know if I'm cut out for that. But anyway, what have you got for Melbourne Victory?
Sorry. So there was the win against Western United is what comes to mind. I'm sure I was thinking of the round number it was, and my brain just said no. So now I'm the who needs a
Round
neurosurgeon now,
three, Matt. Round
hey?
three.
Then so Gionic scored after like whatever it was, like 15 seconds, right? And they got on the front foot and they just dominated. That's the best they've looked all season. Look at the rest of their season. They haven't played like that. Actually, every game has been like relatively really close. So what they need for Christmas, what they need under the tree is like that Western game again. They need that intensity, the result, the ease with which they did it, the players that stood out. They need all of it from start to finish.
That's fair, actually. It's even the Adelaide game. They did start fast in that one. They scored in the 4th minute, although they conceded in the sixth. So I don't know how much you look into that.
That was a bit of round one chaos, but it also like
Yeah.
it wasn't the Western game in that they didn't just dominate and look good. Like it was a bit ebbs and flows, you know?
No, that's completely fair. That's nice, intelligent argument. It's not a lot of fun for Melbourne Victory. Let's move on. Melbourne City. Now, what do you? This is it's a question you give a spoiled rich kid. What do you give someone for Christmas that has everything they want already?
More clean sheets. No,
How
I'm serious. That's what I put. More clean
the
sheets.
fuck did you?
Yeah. No, I'm serious. Western Sydney's seen the clean sheet they've had. Look at this. 5-2,
What
3-2,
they have?
2-2, 1-1, 2-0, and 4-2. There's a lot of goals conceded there. Like for a team that's doing so well,
The funny
a lot of
thing is,
goals
I was
conceded.
looking at their record before and I was like, oh, so the games they're conceding in, it just looked chaotic. But
I
I
want you
didn't
to.
actually click in the fact that they weren't keeping clean sheets in any of them.
I want you to think about this. Adelaide and the Mariners have less goals conceded than City.
It's weird because City's backline does look really
And
good still.
I called Adelaide Morgan, so they're in Sydney in the Perth game. It's just
Well, yeah, almost half of the goals Adelaide conceded this season came in that Perth game, to be fair.
which is nuts. That's pretty crazy. But yeah, look, I just to the extent that we can like have a bit of banter about City, like, obviously there's a very quality football team there. But like there's room for improvement as well, which is a really, really crazy thing to think about.
Well, I'm glad you saw it. Because I didn't. I just said I said for the season to finish tomorrow. What do
Oh,
you give a kid that has everything, the thing that they're probably
there
expecting? They'll want the league title
Yeah. Can
and
you
the season now, give it to them.
here's a random side tangent that has nothing to do with football. Can you think of
Oh,
a, like
God.
a present that you really wanted that you asked for when you were a kid?
No, actually, I can't.
Not like off the top of your head, like that's the Christmas with childhood
Maybe
Christmas for
one.
me. Okay.
I don't know. Do I need to say it?
Yeah.
I don't know. Probably when I got the PS5.
Okay. The PS5. Well, you wouldn't have been a child.
Oh, PS4. Sorry, PS4.
PS4. Yeah.
Wrong one. I don't even have a PS5.
Well, there you go. There you go. I can remember the first ever thing I asked for. When I was like really, really young, like one of my first ever childhood memories was going to a shopping center and asking the famous man from the North Pole for whatever the most recent, we're talking like 2002, 2003 era, so maybe it would have been on the GameCube. I don't know. Whatever the most recent Mario Kart game was. And so that was the first ever thing I asked for Christmas when I was a kid, at least my earliest memory of it. So there you go.
Wait, so what was the point of it?
No, that was just a fun fact. It was just a cool conversation. has nothing to do with
This is
football.
leading on to something. Like, it was, you've got to link it up. Like, there's a reason.
Oh, you actually made it awkward by not knowing the answer. I thought you would have had a. Everyone has some childhood memories. I thought you would have had something locked in there. And now
No, I
you're
can't
just.
think of any. I wasn't the sort of kid that
Mate,
asked for a what.
it's just a bit of Christmas. So there you go. Bit of
Thought there
fun.
was going to be like a deep meaning to this story or something.
Okay, if you really want to look into it, you can't really think of it. I can obviously remember it. What does that say about the difference in childhoods that we have?
I
There you
think
go. Anyway,
you're calling out my
look,
childhood or something, man.
let's. No, I'm calling out mine. That was
Oh man. Okay, who's next?
clearly a dig at mine. The
Newcastle
Jets.
Jets.
Oh,
I
okay, here we
reckon
go.
we've got the same thing for this. I have a funny feeling we've got the same thing for this.
And it's going to be objectively hilarious, right? Like you have scripted this as a joke. If we've got the same thing,
I haven't scripted anything, man. I have no idea what you're saying.
want Daniel Krzysiak to know where the 18-yard box is.
Want Daniel Krzysiak to stop running off in line.
That's why you come up with a well-cooked idea before the podcast. When you said we were doing Christmas presents, I knew what I was putting. Like, I might have only scripted this before the show started, but I knew what I was putting.
It's obvious, but like, look, I can forgive someone if they make two mistakes like that in the space of their career. It's like, you know what? Things happen. Maybe they didn't learn from proper the first time it occurs. Even in the space of a season, you know what? They might be a little bit young. They might be in a stage in their career. They're trying something. Let them go. But she's done the same thing
Multiple
twice
times.
in
She's and
four games.
the fact of the matter is, she got red carded for it in such an embarrassing way against Perth. And then as she's been brought back into the team, whatever the game plan is with Ryan Campbell, she's stuck to it. She's still walking halfway down the play pitch. It's like, Ryan, just tell her no. Like,
Oh
you know what I
man.
mean? Like
I'm
it's
not even talking for anything in football terms, but the fact that she's gotten red carded twice for this. Like, if you're gonna stay off your line, learn how to make a tackle. The thing that frustrated me the most, and it's my fault because I probably didn't do my research enough at the start of the season. I thought she was a young Newcastle local, and I was giving her the benefit of the doubt, thinking, okay, look, you know what? She's young, she's learning. Hopefully she will come out of the other side a better experience for this. This is a visa keeper from America.
Canada, I believe. Canada.
Canada. She played college in America. That's what I mean.
All good.
She's taking up a visa spot and she's taking up a starting spot from Tiana Robertson, which, from everything I have seen, as much as she is a little bit shorter, she is objectively a better goalkeeper.
No,
It's terrible.
it's really, really bad. But also, when we also talk about, like, a lot of players coming out of that college system to really make it as professionals and use Australia as a big stepping stone, right? I have seen a lot of college players come through this competition and actually, like, objectively grow as people from it. They've really loved the lifestyle here. They've really bought into the club. And, Shannon Zdorsky, speaking of Canadians, Shannon Zdorsky was playing for Perth Glory in 2013 or 2014. Little did she know that in a decade she was going to come back to that same stadium as the captain of West Ham United, and then talk about it was so good playing for Perth Glory. Like that's how much you can grow from being a humble college player that's going to come into this league. What you don't do, Danielle. Okay, and this is lighthearted. This is comedy, okay? When I do not actually really fully mean this whilst also kind of meaning it. You don't take the piss, Danielle, right? Like it's, you know what I mean? Like she doesn't look serious out there when she's so far down the pitch with the gloves on. I just don't understand. Is it something that Ryan's sort of got preconceived as a game plan? Because if so, you've very clearly seen it not work. You've actually seen it result in a red card. That's the end of it. You don't, like, whatever the hell the conversation is between the two of them to do that, it had to stop the second that incident in Perth happened.
But you look at how easy Ninoy played last season. She was out of the college system. She was a fantastic goalkeeper. I didn't see her rushing off her line. You look at Tiana Robertson. She's not rushing off her line, and she's in the squad now. So it's either something that he's doing, and when Tiana jumps in, it's like, oh, okay, no, we don't want you to do that. Or it's something that Danielle's doing. He's like, okay, I know you want to play like this, so I'll try and work it into our system. It's not working. And it's not that it's not working and it's costing you games. It's not working and it's costing you your starting keeper.
Yeah, 100%, 100%.
Oh, man.
If it actually is more of a coaching decision than something she's naturally done, and if we can find footage of her doing that in college, like fair fucks, you know. But it, like, if it's something that is coached as well, it is actually like a glaring
Well,
problem
then
with.
he stitched her up big time
Yeah,
because we'll
yeah.
just put her on blast. We'll put him on blast too. I don't care who I'm putting on blast.
No.
Someone needs to fix this.
Yeah, exactly. Like it actually, like it shows that Ryan Campbell is not going to make it at any serious level as a coach. And that's arguably more lethal than what I just said about Danielle, and that one wasn't a joke. So, yeah. Anyway, I'd like to keep us in good Christmas spirits. I'm going to go with my next one. Now, we know obviously Christmas, let's not forget, Christmas is about the birth of Jesus Christ, right? And
I
if
have
you
no idea where this is going, and I am
well,
scared.
let me tell you. Are you familiar with Gabby Holler, the Perth striker?
Yeah, I guess.
To the extent that, you know, she's an American college player, right? She's new
Yeah,
to her environment.
I know enough about
So,
it. It's passing knowledge.
yeah, in the absence of having a lot of friends and family and people around her, firstly, the club at headquarters in Fremantle threw her Thanksgiving. Like the men's and women's club came together to have a Thanksgiving lunch for Gabby, which is, I just think is incredible, by the way. Like that's a really awesome gesture. But she is also it comes from a part of the world where it is not only normal to be a devout Christian, but it is actually very normal to be very, very open about the fact that you're a devout Christian. And Gabby has spent the whole festive period ahead of the birth of the baby Jesus Christ sharing her favorite Bible passages. All I'd like for all I want for Perth Glory this Christmas is for Gabby Holler to quite literally find herself in Christ, okay? Because she was sharing those Bible passages and it fucking worked. Like she found the back of the net. She had a goal drought. She was talking to her agent. There was a few murmurs in Perth about she's already voiced a lot of displeasure with her agent. Not necessarily about being in Perth. Like, yeah, she's probably homesick, probably going through a lot as well. But you know, she was really just like, I don't understand why I've not been able to score. And she kicks up a big fuss in private to her agent about it. She really gets into the spirit of Christmas. She's got the Bible with her at home. She's talking about, you know, I'm reading chapter 10. I'm reading the Luke, you know, I'm reading this passage from Luke. It speaks to me a lot. And that's okay. Like this is not this is I'm a baptized Catholic, by the way. This is not a knock on Christianity. It's the furthest thing from it. Her really like digging into that, okay? Something changed. I'm not joking. Something changed. We saw a different Gabby Holler on the weekend. So like if she's really able to reach that level now that she's seen it, and the second goal in particular that she scored, obviously the first was from the penalty. Which is a great way to get a striker confident, right? Give him a penalty and get him to slot it home. It was superbly taken. But the way that she had the attacking presence to score the third as well, that was the vigor of someone who was at the top of their game. And she found it. She got that Bible out, all right? And she was obviously doing something that means to a lot to you know, people back home in Ohio and Alabama and the many places she's been throughout her career. But that did something to her. That whatever the fuck it was, okay, all right. Say your prayers, all right. Gabby Holler, just keep doing you because we need that version of Gabby Holler in the A-League.
Okay, I am so glad it went in that direction. I don't know what I was expecting, but I'm glad that's what came up. That's actually well put. Like, look, I don't know her on a personal level. I said like I know she's from the American college system. She plays for Perth Glory. That's as far as my knowledge went. I don't see her what she posts on Instagram, so that's new information to me. But it's interesting. Look, I don't know if I'm the most religious person that's
Look,
ever existed, but.
I'll say this. I am baptized, and I don't know, Cody. You might be too.
I
I
am.
know. Obviously, you got married in a church as well, which I'm was fortunate enough to be a part of that and share that with you. And I'm not really a practicing Christian as well, but it was actually just from like a journalistic perspective to see her personally go through that was a really, really beautiful thing. And And you know, it just the more that we become accepting of the diversity of who our players are, you know, the more it's going to be really, really cool to be able to reflect on what bringing those values to the football pitch can do for a lot of people. And you know, we should actually, when we have especially like the South American male players that are coming in, someone like again for another Perth example, Kwan Ngo, he's getting his breakout at the professional level. He is a very, very devout Christian as well. When they talk about this stuff, let's not make it the butt of some kind of joke. Yes, you've got, you know, Papa Davina talking anti-vax stuff, which I can understand why that's really taboo. And I'd like to think that someone sharing Bible passages and understanding that their relationship with religion and, you know, with God, if you're that way inclined, that actually says something specific to them. That's not, I'm shoving my values down your throat. That's them actively saying, look at this thing that I partake in that's really special to me. And in real time, we all saw what it did for her on the pitch. So I can't hope that she finds her way. And as much as I can sit here and make it a piss take and say, you know, that she finds Jesus and all of that and doing the sign of the cross, I really mean it though. So yeah.
You know what? That was a long-winded way to say that you hope Gabby Holler settles in. And look, you know what? That religion connects a lot of people around the world, and if that's a way that helps her assimilate into Australian society, that's actually a really beautiful thing. I hope my mother-in-law listens to this. I reckon she'll enjoy that part. For me, Perth, it's probably more for the team holistically, but it links up to one of our old conversations around the club where, you know, maybe up until the weekend, they were putting out good performances. There were maybe one or two in there that were a little bit lackluster, but they were playing well. And, you know, one or two moments in a game tend to be what cost them. And they just needed a little bit of luck on their side. So, you know, wrapped nice and neatly under the tree this year for Perth Glory in very tiny wrapping paper, a little four-leaf clover just to give them a bit of luck. Give them a little bit of a boost that they need because they're a side that probably just needs a little bit of a kick. Just need a couple of things for them to go right. And they could actually be a really, really good football team. I'm excited to see where they can go. They've definitely exceeded my expectations from a performance point of view. Maybe not so much from a results point of view. They've probably not even reached my expectations in that regard. But I think that there's a side there that can do well. I think there's a side there that's capable of, you know, making a charge for the six, even if they don't necessarily get there. I think that they've got the potential to, if everything goes well, and from some of the signs that they've shown, to at least have something to say in that race, not title race, probably not. That's probably pushing it a bit too far. But I'd back them. I think they just need a few more things and a few more games to go their way. And you mentioned the red card Adelaide got. It was a bit dubious, but if you're a Perth fan, you're probably watching that going, you know what? Adelaide may not have deserved that red, but we deserve something to go our way for once. So you know what? Kudos to them. It's probably good. It's probably something that they need. And if it gives them a bit of confidence to move forward and hopefully do well with their season. That's great. They've got to go away to Wanderers on Friday, a midweek trip right across the country. That's not going to be easy. So they're probably going to need that luck. So good luck. There we go. We'll move on. We've got four more teams to go through. Probably a little bit longer than what we expected, but you know what? We're having fun. And hopefully you are too, listening at home. And if you're still listening, I still question why, but thank you so much. Sydney, I've actually gone serious with this one because Sydney, look,
Okay.
we shouldn't spend too much time on this because we've spoken a lot about Sydney throughout this, I guess, show, this season especially. But I've gone for a consistent goal scorer. And for a Sydney side, this is absolutely crazy. And I know we spoke a little bit last season that they weren't the most prolific team, but they had a solid defense to get them through matches. But they literally have the worst attack out of everyone this season. And that is a bewildering stat to me when you talk about a team like Sydney FC that is all empowering, all encompassing in the history of the A-League Women's, almost an untouchable side and a side that you expect to just go and win no matter what game they're playing in. So for them to have less than a goal a game average at this stage is really kind of nuts. And it's a little bit of a shock to me. But yeah.
They've scored the least amount of goals in the whole league.
Yes.
And I think the biggest part of that comes from that whole issue of sorting out their midfield. I don't actually know that it's like don't get me wrong, the striking options obviously need some work. But I just think that the way they're set up, it's actually like the transition and actually like getting the ball into dangerous areas that is a bigger problem.
That's fair.
Beyond the point that like there's a lot of talent in that team, and it's just not being utilized correctly, which is maybe harsh of Ante Juric to say, but I
was going
think
to say it's a crazy thing to say about an Ante Juric side as well.
it's how, like, we're seeing it in real time with our own eyes. Like, it's just very clearly what the problem is. And yeah, I mean, look, I maybe went a bit more lighthearted with this and wrote, literally everything, but. I think, yeah, solid. I mean, we want the serious answer is probably a solid midfield. But the answer, that we all kind of want for a bit of Christmas cheer is, can we just give Sydney FC's women's program everything right now? Because they kind of need it.
A new striker, so maybe another high quality
Look,
midfielder,
the
some wings,
strikers, the wingers, the centre midfielders,
an
the
experienced
back
goalkeeper.
four, the goalkeeper as well. They just, yeah, just the one or two areas, that they'll
Complete
need.
revamp.
Yeah.
What was
Maybe
that? What was that
even
old show called? Pimp My Ride, Pimp My Football Club.
oh, Pimp My Sydney. Pimp My Juric. No, that's what we need to do. We need to Pimp My Juric. Pimp those tactics, Juric.
Oh God.
Or just get a completely new coach, dare I say
Well, look, it depends how he balances coaching back in the NPL
Don't
as
worry,
well,
Annabelle's already backed him to get sacked, so
though.
it's
Even when she's not in, she can't escape it. Bloody hell. Well, look, both competitions have gotten more demanding since he was last trying to juggle both. So I'm intrigued to see how that actually goes. But we'll see how that go. We'll see how it happens. The A-League women's season finishes April, around March, April. Depending if Sydney make finals, the way they're going, maybe they'll be done by March. NPL season starts in February, so it's definitely got some crossover time. So those first 8 weeks of Sydney United season, I'm really intrigued by. We'll go to Wellington, going across the ditch. Now, this is the one that kind of stumped me because Wellington have kind of been passable by their standards, I guess. Two wins, a draw, three losses. They've grown into the season. They've probably any glaring issues, I think they've kind of fixed to a certain extent. They probably would have liked a better season to start with, but I'm not going to say that they need something on the Christmas under the Christmas tree that they already have received because that's pointless. Why would you give someone a gift they've already been given? So for them, I've had an absolute piss take with this. I want to double check that I've actually kind of got this right. They've played two games this season at Joey Collins Stadium, and they've won one of them. And I'm not pointing fingers, but the one game they lost, Annalie Longo's dog decided to run on the field. So I guess for Christmas, they can tell that dog to stay as far away from the stadium as possible.
Dog isn't allowed within
You can put an
what,
AVO on it, not
like
within 100 feet of the
a
stadium.
Oh no, that's really good. That is really good.
I was
Again, I
scrambling for that one,
probably
honestly. I had no idea what to put.
no. I mean, I'd say just be more dependent on what version of the Phoenix is going to show up. Paul Temple is someone that I really, really like as a coach, and that I've been very vocal about over my time. My experiences with him in the kind of journalistic space have been really, really pleasant as well. He'll take any and all questions. Great guy. The thing is that the grind mindset that started at United rounds is firmly, it seems to be firmly within the team here, that successfully, mind you, Cody, just taken 4 points off Brisbane and Melbourne victory. That's in the context of the table. That's pretty good. So what version are we going to see? Are we going to see the cursed, the cursed version of Phoenix against Canberra? Are we going to see the team that we've actually just seen the last two, 3 weeks? I mean, that ultimately becomes the question. Is it something you can build from? And Cody, I don't think this is the first time I've said this season. Their next game, it's intriguing because it's against Sydney. How many Sydney games are we going to be? And be like, oh, this is an intriguing narrative. What? Yeah, like every Sydney game, the opposition, it's like they've got this big question now. And so yeah, we'll see where that
The funny
goes,
thing
but
is, so the three games that they've picked up points in have been against top four sides. If they lose this Sydney game and then go and get points off Melbourne City, I'm gonna lose my shit because that
yeah,
will
I
be
know.
the funniest thing on earth.
And it
And
would
you
just
know what?
be,
It would be proper A-League women's heritage if that happened.
yes, it would be, and it would be very reminiscent of this Phoenix team under Paul Temple. Like they have some games where you leave thinking, holy, holy, Holy crap, the Phoenix are going to like be a semi-finalist. And then you watch them other weeks and you think, yeah, this team's comfortably, what, ninth or tenth? And there's nowhere in between. There's literally nowhere in between.
Can't
I
put out an
love
average performance to save their lives. But you know
it.
what? At least you're getting entertainment. It's good for the fans. I'll say that
Yeah.
much. At least you're getting your, at least you're getting your dollar value. Maybe not when you're losing, but hey, you know what? What's football if your team's winning all the time? I reckon that's not fun. Maybe some people disagree with me, but I like a bit of a mix-up. Wanderers. This is another side you could almost like look at it and go, give them everything. They probably need a lot. Probably need an experienced head somewhere. I've just gone for the simple answer and said points. I'm sure they'd take even just another 1 or 2 points at this stage because, and I know they won on the weekend and it was a great win. They played some fantastic football. Sione Saviska kind of bucked the FPF curse and finally we got to interview someone and see them excel in almost an immediate sense.
I mean, we've had FBF blessings in the male space.
Have we? You can't think of many off the top of the head.
One that I did in particular that you're really not thinking of right now. That's cool. Daniel
No, who?
Bernie,
Tell me.
you fucking made it to the championship after I interviewed him. that's all good.
Did
That's all
you
good.
interview him right before he moved?
Look, I want to say it was like midway through the season. He then went on to score his first senior goal in the A-League.
There we
And
go.
then,
There we
yeah.
go. Sione Saviska following the footsteps of Daniel Bennie. Maybe she'll get
Yeah,
an
there you go.
overseas move. There we go.
That would actually be really, really cool.
Oh,
That
awesome.
would be a proper FPF blessing. my brain's just having a moment. I've gone, I guess, for something again, a bit serious, a bit funny, a bit of everything. But the current Jolly Dolan medalist is having some problems right now. I'm sure you're actually well aware of that fact. And I may or may not have seen Robbie Hooker, with his ribbon out earlier, with some new football boots for Sophie Harding, because yeah, she kind of needs she probably needs some new boots, and she needs to find the back of the net sooner rather than later,
Yeah, look, it's fair.
preferably.
Well, look, when you got Sione Saviska doing her thing, maybe it's all right. But
If we had last year Sophie Harding in this team, yeah, they leak a lot of goals, to be fair. They've been pretty poor defensively. But we need Sophie Harding to just continue to be at the elite level. And tell me if I'm wrong, that when she scored in this 5-1 win, was that her first goal for the season?
Harding didn't score.
No, she didn't score. There you go. I thought she
She
did.
scored against
I thought she
Newcastle
did.
early in the season, though.
Newcastle, right? And that was a mistake from our old friend Danielle Krishniak as well.
There
So,
we go. That's the case is
yeah,
building up against her. Honestly,
no, I know. And
I'm
as far as I
sticking to
know,
it.
by
It's
the
Yana
way,
season, honestly.
as far as I know, unlike Gabby, I don't know that she's necessarily that way inclined, with the old Bible in hand. So, I'll just stick to football boots for now, and yeah, wish her on her way.
Nah, look, like I said, my thing's probably points for the Wanderers if they can just get something on the board, which there's been some games where they've had performances that probably warranted getting at least a draw out of something. Even that Newcastle game, they probably could have gone on and won. They just and maybe this Western game will give them a bit of a spur. Another thing you could probably put on the Christmas list is maybe some gym equipment for Robbie Hooker. We haven't seen the antics in the last couple of weeks. Maybe he's run out of ideas. So let's get him some dumbbells. Maybe his own bench press that way. Next time he's angry, he's
There
got something to work with properly instead
you
of
go.
going down doing some push-ups. We could all do with a bit of gym equipment, I guess. Last one.
Yeah.
We've actually gone through this pretty well, I think. We definitely wasn't half an hour, but you know what? Screw it. You guys get more content. You should be happy. Western. This
Yeah.
is one I've actually kind of really deeped. So I'm sad I'm not ending on a piss take, but no, screw it. You know who's been made available recently?
Who is that?
A fullback that plays for the New Zealand national team by the name of Ali Green.
Okay.
Now, I don't know what her plan is, if it's to stay in Europe, stay in a professional setup, or if she's homesick a little bit. She was born in Sydney, but Melbourne's not that far from Sydney. It's a lot closer to Sydney than what Denmark is, let's be real. But the way Melbourne's side's set up, they haven't had the best of defenses, to say the least. They actually have the equal worst defensive record in the competition. And a semi-experienced head and someone who could join the back line and actually still offer some high quality going forward could actually do him a little bit of good, in my opinion. So I look at Western side and I think, you know what, you put an Ally Green type figure in there, it gives them that extra kick that probably turns them from a side that Peter's on the top six, Peter's on the top four, to a side that can really insert themselves in there. That's my opinion. But there was also the fact that I saw Ally Green was available and I wanted to work her in here somewhere. Western seemed like the best opportunity because I did want to make that joke about, well, not that joke. I did want to point out that Sydney FC probably need a goal scorer more than anything. But it probably fits under your everything tag for Sydney too. But for Western, look, Ally Green probably wouldn't be a bad signing.
Look, maybe, yeah. Any sort of defensive player is probably a good place to start. And I've not really acquainted myself enough with what a lot of the causation of this has been, but I just think when you look at a lot of their kind of recent history, I think when they're in a game, they're pretty solid value to at least pick up a point, if not go on and win. In most cases. But when they're down on their luck, they're really down on their luck and they have this ability to kind of implode. The victory game quite literally fell apart in 15 seconds. We know what went on to happen. The Wanderers game, you might in some ways want to call it a freak of nature, but what I think it has in common is that one thing started to go wrong, and what you really saw with Weston was an ability to just let the gates open, become almost like Christian's comments about the Glory men's team in that sometimes you're working with training cones at times, you know, there's just that ability to just implode and let the gates open. And I don't know what Cat Smith can do to fix that. I don't know, again, personnel-wise, where specifically a problem like that would lie. But if you just stop that ability to implode in those games, realistically, and you can look at this, the victory in the Wanderers game are actually like the only really bad results there. Otherwise, you have a really like solid and dependable mid-table team. Do you know what I mean? So it's almost like
Yeah,
when they've
because I was looking
lost.
at Western at the start of the season thinking they could be more than a mid-table team. So, yeah, some of those results I've been picking up, it's actually been quite disappointing, to say the least.
Yeah, but well, look, I mean, you've beat Wellington comfortably. You've drawn with the Mariners. The Jets, I think, again, can be really solid and dependable in their day. They've kind of beat Sydney, who are down on their luck, and that's a game that they've needed to win. It's just this 4 and 5 conceded that stand out like a sore thumb. So, like whether it's just a confidence and belief thing, like I couldn't really narrow down what's exactly gone wrong. I'd like to kind of watch this team a bit more closely, watch a lot of methods that Cat Smith is putting forward. Because again, I don't think it's a bad football team. I just think that there's the one thing that goes wrong, and then the floodgates are open. So. If you can find a way to fix it, then you're going into the new year feeling pretty good. And we're talking about Christmas presents. Maybe this is New Year's resolutions.
Hey, if you're talking a Christmas present, maybe an experienced defender to when things start going wrong to set the tone and go, hey, let's calm down.
No, it's a really, really good shout on Ally Green for sure.
Yeah, I'm glad I saw her say that she wasn't staying. I think I only saw her like a day or two ago. It was just perfect timing, I guess. But that is it. That is all the teams covered. That's everyone's Christmas list sorted. The only thing that we are left to go through, Matt, is what's on yours?
Nat Tatham and Mariana to Bain and Zoe Spadano to all be in the futsal team, please, Miles Downey. Because my journalistic career would really like 3 Western Australians to be in the footy squad, please. And then, just a bunch of stuff that's not so relevant to this podcast. So,
That's fair enough. I don't actually know what I my that's what made my biggest fear. My wife and my parents' pet peeve is I take what do you call it? 20 to 30 business days to work out what I want for an event, and it is horrible for them, and I definitely don't make life easy. So to my mum, who I know is listening, I do apologize. That is all from us today. I really hope you guys have enjoyed this episode. Something a little bit out of the norm, something a little bit different to get you in a bit of Christmas cheer. We are only, by the time this episode goes up, it will be less than a week away. So Matt, do you have anything you want to say before we sign off for the year?
I really wanted to do some like posh accent and like, you know, like in like the movies,
Please don't
like
do that.
every Christmas movie ever, where it'd just be like this posh narrator voice and it would just have like the most like random generic line about Christmas and about family and spirituality and all that stuff. Yeah. Just imagine me dropping like some real thick, like Morgan
The problem
Freeman
is,
type
we can't do
voice.
that with Aussie accents.
No, we can't. We really can't. But yeah,
You don't
everyone.
see an Aussie narrator, do you?
No, you really don't. Unless
Even Love
it's
Island
like.
Australia, I think their narrator was like American or something.
Oh,
I just outed myself for watching Love Island Australia. I'm married now.
whatever,
I live with my
whatever.
wife. Please forgive me.
No, I mean, look, I work in a very female dominated office, and I hear all the gossip about the episodes. Episodes that I'll never watch. But yeah.
Wait,
Apparently
were you
the.
Team Nico or Team Mercedes for the win?
Oh,
For the win.
I'm not that into it to know who the names are. I just know that there was a winning couple, and apparently they've already broken up, which like fucking sucks.
Yes, they have.
Yeah.
And they made a big deal about being boyfriend and girlfriend in the villa, and then things don't go well.
What's the
Why you can't
point?
trust reality
What's the
TV?
point? This is, come on, this is why we're watching it. And it's not. It's just objectively not, but that's all right. Anyways,
Well, I ended up
thanks.
watching it.
A big thanks to Kirsty from work for keeping me so in tune.
Look, that is all from us.
Merry
Pretty.
Christmas. Let's actually just finish by saying have a lovely Christmas and or New Year's period with the special people in your life, eh? Especially if you're the kind of sicko that's listened all the way through to us. Please enjoy yourself, please. We really don't wish anything more than for you to have the best time with the people that you love.
I can only reiterate that point for anyone that has listened to this full episode. We do appreciate it so much. And hopefully you've enjoyed all the content we've put out. You see, not just through Front Page Dub, but through the normal Front Page Football podcast, Front Page Fantasy when that was on last year, and all the articles that are shared and all the social posts that go up that a lot of people throughout the FPF organization work very hard to put out for you all. Hopefully you've all enjoyed it. Hopefully you all have an amazing Christmas. Like I said, thank you so much for everyone that has supported us. My name's Cody Ojeda. I enjoy doing this for you on a fortnightly basis and recently a weekly basis. Being joined by Matt Olson, we're both in the Christmas cheer, as we said before. We're dressed up for the occasion. We're probably a little bit early, but that's okay. We will see you in the new year. Until then, bye for now, and a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.